The words chosen for this morning are recorded in the fourth chapter of 1 Corinthians, the first and second verse. Let a man so consider us as stewards of Christ and servants of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it's required in stewards that one be found faithful. At the end of August, the 28th to be exact, the church year remembers St. Augustine of Hippo. Interestingly enough, we remember great heroes of faith, not on their birthday like you might expect, but on their death date, their birth into the new and glorious life of heaven. St. Augustine, who lived about 354 to 430 AD in North Africa, modern-day Algeria, was a rather interesting individual. He lived a pretty riotous youth. He was a bad boy. That's what comes right down to it. Yet through the influence and endless prayer of his mother, he was brought back to faith in Jesus as the Savior and became one of the great church leaders and pastors of God's kingdom. As he neared the end of his life, the barbarian Vandals were at the gates of Hippo, where he served as pastor. It seemed like his whole world was falling apart. And you know what he did? He kept taking care of his parish, kept writing his books and correcting them until he breathed his last. Just hours after, or days I should say, after he died, the Vandals took over the city and everything in his life's work was gone except for the souls in his parish that were taken home to heaven and his books. Yet through those books, he has influenced every generation of Christians, including our own. He was a faithful steward of the mysteries of God, the word and sacrament, as this text encourages. He is a wonderful example for the students in our seminary preparing for the public ministry of our Lord. And when we think about Augustine, when I think about him, I have two pictures in my mind. First picture is St. Augustine in his study, surrounded by manuscripts and books and codices. It's a royal mess like my office gets, and my wife nags about it, you know. And he has his pen in his hand, which is really a feather, and he's deep in thought, thinking about the word. First, that picture. As Augustine, our seminarians, as they prepare for the public ministry, are going to spend a lot of time in their study. The books that you read in the seminary are numerous. And when they pack their bags and pack their books to leave for the first call, they shouldn't think that their studying is over. Dr. Mattson, one of the forefathers of our synod, and also the grandfather with the statue of Luther that Molstad talked about on Tuesday, has this illustration of pastors. He said, when you walk into the parsonage, into a parsonage, and if you notice that the carpeting in front of the mirror is worn, you better pray for that minister. But if you go into a parsonage and see the carpet threadbare under the desk where he prepares his sermons, ask that pastor to pray for you. Now, that doesn't mean that our seminarians shouldn't be neat and well-dressed, and I think they look pretty decent this morning, actually. But it does emphasize the absolute importance of reading and studying and meditating on the word, so that the sermons that are given in pulpits like this are really the fountain of salvation for the souls of men. However, our pastors can't spend all their time in their studies either. And so we look at the second picture that I think of when I think of Augustine. And that picture is in the Hippo Cathedral. And in those days, they usually sat to preach. Augustine's sitting right in the middle of the chancel area, expounding the word, feeding the flock with the bread of life. He was a faithful steward of mysteries of God, word, and sacrament. As Augustine, our seminarians and all pastors will have a love for God's word and also a love for lost souls, for all souls in their care. They will want all to know the wonderful message of salvation. Nothing hurts a pastor more than to know someone who is going to hell because they don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. He offers the treasure of salvation. And he does this by applying the Word of God to the hearts in his care. The Word of God, the law, and the gospel. And to simply illustrate the law and gospel this morning, let's take a look at the crucifix in front of this chapel. When we first look at that crucifix, we see the law in all its burning fervor, because each and every one of us here nailed Jesus to that cross. Do you agree? Think a little bit. Think of those cravings, passions, and desires that we have within that we wouldn't tell anybody about. Those are the things that cause the crown of thorns in his skull. Think about the filthy words. Think about the sarcasm that I use sometimes in the morning before I go to work to my wife. Think about the bitter words we say to each other and the mockery behind people's backs. That was the spit in the Savior's face. The deeds that we would only do under the cover of darkness during the weekend are the things that caused the Savior's blood to flow. He endured the pain of hell for each of us. That's the law in all its severity. And yet your pastor doesn't end there. He tells you to look again at that wonderful cross and see the love of God. The Father in heaven loved you, every one of you, so much that he gave his Son in our place. Jesus lived a holy life in our place and then died for us. He became poor and lowly to give us heaven. He took upon himself our flesh and fought Satan, the world, and all our foes in that flesh and made us the children of God. It's that wonderful treasure that's offered to you each day in this chapel through the Word of God. As the Word is proclaimed, because it's not my word or any of the chaplains, it's God's Word. As that Word is proclaimed, that treasure of full salvation is placed in your lap. It's there for each and every one of us and is received by the simple hand of faith, which has worked through those very means. And that's the work that our seminarians are preparing for. That's the work of pastors. To give the most important thing that there is, that which will give life here and eternal life in heaven. Therefore, I would encourage every young man here to consider the preaching and teaching ministry. I'd encourage every young lady here to consider the teaching ministry, caring for the little lambs in our Christian day schools. There is no greater work, because here we offer the most important thing. And if that isn't possible for us, don't think that there's nothing we can do. Share the gospel with all around you. The good news that Jesus has paid for our sins. This morning, the Lord Jesus is asking each one of us to share the gospel, to share that which can save the souls of those around us. He's asking for pastors and teachers. He's asking us that he can use his life, that he can use our lives as he used the life of St. Augustine. Let none hear you idly saying, there is nothing I can do, while the souls of men are dying and the Master calls for you. Take the task he gives you gladly. Let his work your pleasure be. Answer quickly when he calleth. Here am I. Send me, send me. Amen.